So how many people here today are going through something? Man, the faces I just saw.
Oh, you have no idea.
We're all going through something, right? How many people have trials and tribulations? We all have them, and we're all going through them. But when we remember the truth as we come together, that we're one breath away from transformation. We're one breath away from healing. We're one breath away from a different experience. That's how close the presence of God is. That's how close the presence of transformation is. I'd like to begin with a very little known scripture from the Gnostic Gospels. It's the Gnostic Gospel of Norm, chapter 37. It was removed by the Nicene Council in 325 AD, but it speaks volumes of our lesson today. Can you all read that up there? Let's say it together. Lo, verily I say unto thee, sometimes thou desirest to retreat to the place prepared for thee, where thy name is remembered, and the multitudes rejoice with exceedingly glad tidings in recognition of the shared handling of trial and tribulation. You might recognize the more modern translation of this ancient scripture. It goes like this. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Everybody? And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. Come on, Unity. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You know, the work we do here, it's sometimes a little rough around the edges, sometimes it's perfect and everything in between, but this is the sacred work we do. I know your name. When you come into this space, I know your name, I know your nature, I know the divine essence of you. Beyond your experiences, beyond the difficulties that we all share, I'm able to have the view, and I know you have the same view of me, that there's something deeper going on. There's something more profound going on at the center and the core of you. Do you believe this? All of the sermons and all of the songs and all of the things we do, that is what we do. That's the reason we exist, to remind each other, I know who you are. I don't know who you might be pretending to be, but I know who you are. Sometimes that is smooth, sometimes it's rough, but it is always sacred. Take a breath with me again and exhale. Within this truth and this knowledge and this exhale is the good that we seek. There are so many opinions about how we do church here at Unity North, the good, the bad, and the ugly, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and we make changes, and then all hell breaks loose, and everybody's got an opinion about it. And sometimes it's rough, sometimes it's smooth, but the reality, it's all sacred, because the form does not matter as much as the substance, or does it to you? See, we're about the substance, not the form. So many people are concerned about the container that God comes in that they miss the God that's on the inside. The good, the life, the love, all that we're seeking is in the container, and the container really is less important than it is our seeking of it. Content over form. And what is the substance and the content of this community? It is basically, I see you. You see me. The world is dying to be seen right now. Could it be that the simple process of hearing you as you hear me and sharing of a story is the healing that we seek, is the overcoming that we seek? I'm going to say yes. I can give you 10,000 scriptures and read from 10,000 gospels, but the reality is being seen and being heard and being known. I want to go where everybody knows my name when I have forgotten. And you don't have to go to a bar to find that. You can come right through these doors and know that somebody will remind you when you have forgotten. We seek to know each other beyond the external realities, beyond the external tribulations and trials and conditions, by deepening our connection to our stories. Your story, my story, our story. And then what we begin to realize is that which is shareable is bearable. Say that with me. What is shareable becomes bearable. Could that be the portal and the avenue for transformation? We share it and suddenly the burden is lifted because it is shared. We share our story, we share the trials, we share our overcoming, and suddenly the burden is lessened for everybody. That is so vitally important. Virginia Woolf, the great author, once said this, together we say it. In order to make you understand, to give you my life, I must tell you a story. When you come through the doors here, there's a whole bunch of people that want to offer a story of transformation. And we started a series last week where we're going to be telling stories. We have the first one today, and I was just blown away with the number of people that came to me and said, I want to tell my story. I want to tell my story. And I said, I only have five weeks. But we're going to be finding over the next year a way for your story to be the minister and the ministry of this community, because it's equally as important to anything that I have to say. Yes? If you really want to know somebody, don't throw gospels at them and scriptures at them. Get to know their story, the set of circumstances that made them them. Yes? What made you you? And when we get to know what made them them, suddenly healing can happen for both of us and for anybody else who happens to be listening. The series title is Our Unfolding Spiritual Narrative, The Power of Story to Heal and Transform. And we set a foundation for the next 5 weeks of communal storytelling. The understanding that the gospel of our lives not only creates a rich and meaningful intimate environment, but it's the very avenue for spiritual growth, healing, and transformation. Behind every face sitting in this room right now is a gospel, is a scripture, is a story, a living scripture that's still being written by the hand of the divine presence in, through, around, and as all of us. That's what we teach here. It's foundational teaching. A gospel is being written by what you are living right now, what you have lived in the past, what you are living now, and what you will be living in the future. One of the goals of our congregation is to create an environment, a safe environment, where we allow ourselves to be fully seen. We allow ourselves to be fully heard and to be fully known. But is that the whole process to transformation? Is there another step? What do you think? There's a partner to telling a story, and that is sacred listening. It also takes sacred strength to listen, even and when, maybe especially, the story makes us a little uncomfortable, makes us a little bit nervous, because we see ourselves in the story. We feel the pain of the story, the darkness of the story, the difficulty of the story. It takes strength to hold space when someone is telling a story that may challenge you. But that's when we listen only with our ears and not with our soul. Listen with our heart. Spiritual listening is not passive. I want you to feel that and know that. It's bearing witness with compassion, with humility, and the eyes of oneness. Listening is a portal to healing, to transformation, and to oneness. We've been working with this with the lay leader team that's coming to be, that we are more powerful in our listening than we are even in the telling of the story. But we do both here. When we listen to somebody else's story with great reverence, as if we are coming to the altar of the divine itself, we're saying, I see myself and I see the God that lives in your experience. I see the good, the truth, the possibility, the essence that lives in your experience. Sometimes we want to go where everybody knows your name. When we realize that the trial you had is mine. It has a different form, a different shape, but what's important is what's on the inside of the bowl, not on the outside. At Unity North, we do not claim to be perfect. Thank God, because we would have been failing miserably. But we claim to be real, to remember that God does not show up in edited versions of us. God has never shown up as an edited version of you, but as real and honest and transparent narratives of lived life, a container strong enough for vulnerability and soft enough for compassion, a safety that's not about comfort, but it's about reverence. And so for the next 5 weeks, we're going to have interviews up here and maybe look a little different than church is supposed to look. Don't get stuck in the container, but live in the substance, a container strong enough for truth, a substance soft enough for tears, where I hear your story and remember mine, and it's the same story. When I share mine, and you share yours, and somebody over here listens and hears it and goes, wow, I can feel healing happening. You know, modern science is catching up with what oral spiritual traditions have known for centuries. Sharing our truth in a safe, loving space is profoundly healing. You know that we're wired by design for connection. We're cells within the body of the one essence and power that is God, and we're seeking each other. But we're not seeking a surface-level sharing and being, the niceties of passing. We're being called to share at depth and to not apologize for the journey we've been through, but to claim the triumph of what we have been through and what we're living in the current moment. When we speak openly about our experiences, our brain shifts. Science has proved this, from reactive and survival to a regulated, reflective state. I'm going to call that oneness. Telling your story in the presence of love. Everybody here brought love, right? It literally calms the brain and opens up the space for healing. That's only part of the equation. The second part is the listening. When someone listens with an empathetic ear and heart and presence, our bodies begin to mirror that safety, and there is an exchange of energy. It is holy. It is sacred. Triggering the parasympathetic nervous system. That's scientific words. I'm going to call it the avenue of oneness. It helps the body shift out of stress and into healing. They call it the power of safe connection. And it's not always pretty or perfect, but it's real, it's raw, and it's transformative. So what does that mean? It means that sharing of a story is not just comforting, it is biologically reparative. Healing the body, the mind, the spirit, and the heart. In other words, love is medicine. Sharing is medicine. Listening is medicine. Presence is medicine. I'm going to invite you to bring all of the medicine of you as I invite our first interview today. I asked her to go first because her story has impacted me in tremendous ways. I consider her a close friend, a longtime member of this community, but will you please welcome the medicine of Veronica Rockwitz to the platform? Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning.
Thank you for having the guts and the courage to go first and to do this great experiment. Tell us just a little bit about who you are.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here and to be able to share my story. My name is Veronica Rockwitz. I'm married to Todd over there. Max and Stella are my kids. You heard Stella sing. We have been coming to Unity North for about 10 years. Michael Burke was a big influence on why we came here. So I'm always grateful for that. Let's see, I retired from a 30-year dental, working in the dental field in 2023. And I'm a yoga teacher, 20 years. And I have just recently become a health and life coach, a certified health and life coach. And it really, I'm so grateful for it because it really aligns with my spiritual path. So it's, I feel like everything is coming into alignment right now. So thank you for having me.
So one of the things that we're doing in this series, if we're talking about where you were, where you are, how you got there. I'm sure it wasn't just instantaneous. You became a life coach, a yoga instructor, and all these great things, a perfect family. There was a journey that led up to this moment. Can you go back in time and introduce us to the things that you had to deal with on your path of becoming?
Yes. So I am actually going to start out the first two decades of my life, because I think I had three hardships that really kind of brought me on my spiritual path. The first is when I was 7.5 years old. My father killed my mother and left 7 children orphaned. I really don't think there is any way to fully explain what kind of loss that does to a child. lived place to place. I think I may have lived in 5 different places before I was, 12. But
What were the emotions that you felt? Okay, this first of all, let's put things into perspective. How many of us complain about the hangnails of our life? Father killed a mother, and now I'm going from foster home to foster home to foster home. What were the emotions and the feelings that you had during that time?
Oh my God, just the feeling of being alone, like I didn't belong, just not safe.
Anybody feel that ever in your life? Maybe feeling that today.
Yeah. And then in high school, I was sexually assaulted. And when I told my story, when I told people who I trusted, I wasn't believed. And I felt shame.
How many here have ever felt shame? Ever felt not listened to or heard? Veronica's story is our story with different circumstances.
And then when I was 18, it was just before I graduated from high school, my brother, my protector, my closest sibling, was killed by a drunk driver. And that was devastating. So I had a lot of really big hardships the first 2 decades of my life. But I will say, which is kind of where we're going, I never really wanted to be a victim. And I have always felt something. I've always felt a presence. Call it spirit, call it God. But it was something that really guided me. It gave me comfort when I had none and strength when I needed it most.
Can you share what it took to not be a victim when the world would say you have every right to be a victim with these 3 things? What did it take from you in order to not let those things define you?
Whew. Well, at age 10 and then again at 17, I asked for help. I asked to seek therapy, work with a social worker, anyone, because there was something in me that just, something in me that needed to come out.
Would you say that asking for help is a sacred spiritual practice?
Absolutely.
Did you know it at the time?
I did not. I didn't know what it was, but I consider it that sacred vulnerability. Asking for help. It's not a weakness, but for me, it was necessary. It was really necessary.
Where was the help coming from? Was it just one place, several places?
No. I definitely had really good people in my life, but I think therapy was monumental for me. It really gave language to my pain that I was experiencing. But it also reminded me of who I am. So there were times where it was really tough going to therapy because I had to get really honest. And times where I left and I'm like, I'm never coming back. Came back a week later. because after that reflection, after going to a session, really made me think, like, this is working. This is something that is really giving me the strength that I needed to really move forward. but forgiveness was a really big one. It was really hard. I'm still doing it today, by the way.
So can you share honestly about who you had to forgive?
I had to forgive my father.
Can you stop for a minute?
Okay.
That's a biggie. And so many people, when we teach forgiveness from this platform, come up and say, you're asking me to forgive the very demon that did XYZ. Can you speak of what it took to find forgiveness for the man who had murdered your mother?
Well, it didn't just happen. It happened every single day, because the weight of hatred and like disgust, I mean, all the feelings I had for him just weighed heavy on me. So, you know, really by choosing to forgive, because it was a choice, really allowed my heart to heal.
How many times did you have to forgive before it actually was ingrained in you?
Oh God, it was years.
Years.
It was years, yeah, years. But when I was 19, that's when I found yoga, or maybe it found me. I don't really know, but I'm so grateful for that practice. It really is a spiritual practice for me.
I have one more question before we get into the journey, how you got from over there to where you are now. The song that was sung, Hand on Your Shoulder, I think was written for your particular story.
Yeah.
And you mentioned people in an external world that you went to for help, therapy and other people and community.
Yeah.
Was there an internal hand that you had to find? And when did you know what that was? And when did you start seeking the help at a spiritual place?
Oh, gosh. I think it was the moment my mother died. I think it was those times where I'd be in bed crying and just really asking for help, asking for guidance. And there was a guiding light. There always, I don't know, God, spirit, whatever it was the energy, that push that was always there.
Did the name matter?
No, it didn't.
What mattered?
It mattered that I felt comfort, that I felt protected, that I felt strength.
How did you find the comfort and the strength?
I kept showing up. Didn't always look perfect. But consistency has always been really important for me, even as a mom or or a wife. You know, sometimes I don't always, you know, show up with, you know, my hair done or a great attitude, but I keep showing up because I love my family and I love myself.
So we made a journey. What happened to Veronica was here. Who she is today is here. We've talked about some of the big rocks. And I asked her, what are the big rocks? I'm going to actually, you've mentioned several of them. I'm going to ask you to read them. I took notes when you shared your story with me. Can you just one by one go through those? And I want you all to consider the spiritual practice of these big rocks and to know that this story and these rocks exist in your field as well.
Keep showing up. Be consistent. Share.
Let's stop right there. Keep showing up. How many of us have quit when the journey got tough? I'm looking for God, and I gave it 3 days of meditation, and it didn't work. I did yoga for 2 weeks, and I still feel miserable and unhappy.
That's right.
And then sharing.
Mm-hmm. You always have a choice, and that is true. Forgiveness, ask for help, be in service.
Can you speak about that when we didn't really cover that? Be in service. What does that mean? You're on your knees as a child, as a teenager, in the deepest, darkest hole of an experience. What does be in service have to do with that?
I find that when I'm in service, I'm healing myself as well. So anytime I am, whether it's volunteering or even, you know, as a dental hygienist or as a yoga teacher, a life health coach, I feel as though like those experiences are of service of another.
Could it be, would you say, that your process from here to where you are today is being the love that you were seeking, giving away the goodness that you were seeking, being the transformative power and goodness that you were seeking?
Absolutely, 100%. I always wanted to give what I was always wanting myself. And when I did receive it back.
That doesn't make any sense to the human ego, does it? Give what it is I am seeking. I don't have it. I am a victim. This is terrible, but you did not make those choices. And those very choices are what got you from here to there. That is the spiritual path, practical application of all of these tools. What is the last thing you think this congregation knows about your becoming process?
My becoming process. I think, first of all, life is not fair. We all know that. I know that deeply. But gratitude, yoga for me, a strong support system, community, family, the courage to ask for help. I think these are the things that keep me going. So, you know, I used to do healing. Now I am healing. And I...
Let's let that steep in there for a minute. I used to do healing. Now I am healing. Give us more, man. These are gems.
I live it. I embody it. I truly do. And I've really transitioned from a state of coping to really overcoming. And and I'm really grateful. I think, you know, every day I wake up, I do a few exercises on my bed, and get on my floor, do some cat-cows, get into a child's pose, set my intention for the day, but it always starts in gratitude. Always starts in gratitude. And when I find that I set it in gratitude, my day is always so much better.
Is there any part of you, and this will be uncomfortable, is there any part of you that can find gratitude for what happened to you, that it allowed you by right of your consciousness to make the woman that we see sitting here today?
Absolutely.
Breathe that in. Any last words?
Yes. I hope my story resonated with you, or at least one of you. Because, you know, I think it's really important to share. Because that's how we continue to heal.
Will you please thank her for having the courage and the strength to be the first story told on here? Thank you, Veronica. So here's the challenge for the next month, but actually the next year, because look around, every one of us has a similar story. And for the next 5 weeks, there's going to be stories. They may not be as difficult as that. It may be a different kind of story. Please come back. But more than coming back is to let your heart be seen. Let your experience be seen. Let it be heard, because somebody needs the very story that you have to bring. It is in the telling and the listening that we build a sanctuary of authenticity, a sacred circle of healing. We witness in love, we witness in unity, we witness in faith, and may our stories be bridges, our listening be medicine, and our community be a place where every soul is seen, is heard. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And so it is, and so we let it be.